Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy spring. It is the first day of spring 2019. Good to be with you on this Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. And we have so much to talk about. We are really going to remind you to get out there and make sure you see and take one or more folks with you next week, the very powerful film Unplanned. And we are doing a lot in our area in southeastern Michigan to promote the film. Ave Maria Radio is sponsoring several screenings, and I'm very excited and proud to have our archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Detroit, the head of evangelization, my friend, Father Stephen Polos, is a wonderful, dynamic priest. He's been at the March for Life. He's just out there on the front lines. He's joining us at 15 minutes past the hour, and he wants to talk about why he is encouraging not only those in the Archdiocese of Detroit, along with our Archbishop, and also, of course, the Archbishop of Kansas City, Archbishop Nauman, but others in the church and church leadership to really do their best to get behind this film. And then what we can do as a church to offer help for those who have strong reactions. And I believe, being that one in four women in the pews, we know from the statistics, has had an abortion, we will be seeing an emotional fallout, reminding them that if they haven't addressed it, that the sacrament of reconciliation is available. As a matter of fact, one of my friends, Mary Lockwood, who's with Silent No More in the Michigan area and Right to Life, and she's a prominent speaker, she was saying at Father John Ricardo's parish, when they had some discussions on this, that there were going to be priests available at some of the screenings that OLGC, his parish, Our Lady of Good Counsel, is sponsoring, to be there for people. There will also be, from what I understand, a number on the screen, information on the screen at the end of the film. But brothers and sisters, this is huge. And while I really want to encourage you as pro-lifers to go see this, obviously, because I know we all get weary, we're overburdened, we're overtaxed, and 20% of the people, whatever the ministry, do 80% of the work. That's just pretty standard. And we are stretched very thin, and sometimes, as I mentioned, we feel overwhelmed. But this will reaffirm you and remind you of the beauty and the power of your ministry and how you're saving lives, starting with that innocent baby in the womb, but beyond, in terms of all the people affected by abortion. But also, I really hope that we can bring someone who's, you know, on the fence about the issue, hasn't given it much thought. Maybe they go to Mass every week, but they think, well, it's legal. How bad could it be? We tend to think sometimes that everyone has all the information that we do, even in the pro-life movement, and that many times is not the case. So this is an opportunity to bring someone who, well, maybe, you know, has voted pretty much pro-life, but again, hasn't thought all about that too much. And then also to bring someone who is really steadfast in their beliefs regarding supporting, Lord help them, legalized abortion. But I guarantee those who are supporting abortion, because this was me, and I'm speaking from personal experience when I was pro-choice many years ago, they think they know, but they don't. I had no clue the impact. I mean, I knew it was a child. I tried to justify that in my mind. And part of the reason I was able to do that is because I was away from the church. And when you're not in Scripture and when you're not receiving the sacraments, you can get very blinded. But I did not know the negative impact on women, per se, and how women were denied so much information and the impact on them with the connection between breast cancer and addictions and domestic violence issues and on and on and on. And that opened my eyes. I also didn't know about abortion as an industry. It was always portrayed as a choice and an option must be available for women. Never knew the background, even though I was at that point in my life a journalist. And it wasn't until that I was forced to cover, believe it or not, back then we still did that, both sides of the story, and I sat down with a nurse, a dear friend of mine today, Diane Trombley from Right to Life Lifespan of Southeastern Michigan, and someone from NARAL, Pro-Choice America, to do a show, a public affairs show, on the issue of tax-funded abortions in Michigan, which were eventually outlawed, when I started to hear the information. And that's what gradually forced me to actually, oh, go figure, do some research, as opposed to buying into all the messages out there. this is pretty much the standard of those who, I've never met someone who has been pro-choice, and I've been met many of them in my former circle of friends, who have information, actual facts, beyond the rhetoric, the sound bites that are out there. Now, if they're in the abortion industry, as Abby was, as you see in the film, they are indoctrinated, and there's a level of denial because many of them have had abortion. So it's a very complex thing. But bring people who would not normally go see this movie, in addition to going yourself as a pro-lifer. I think that's very important. So Father Stephen Polis from the Archdiocese of Detroit will be weighing in. We'll also share some clips. So thanks to the folks at Carmel Communications who shared a very powerful phone call that was held last week with Abby and Archbishop Naumann talking about the film. And Archbishop Naumann, as head of the USCCB Pro-Life Activities Office, is doing so much to promote this film. And we'll have some clips from him, some clips from Abby. And I think Abby, Andrew just told me, was just on Fox News, which is great, too, getting it out there in the secular arena. And then after we speak with you and Father Steve, we will talk with our friend Joan Lewis, of course, from Joan's Rome. So it's a busy morning, and at about 15 minutes past the hour on this very first day of spring, we will open up the phone lines. And we look forward to talking with you, and maybe you can share how you are going to be promoting the movie and getting folks there. A great opportunity. We have a number of pregnancy resource centers that are showing up in Metro Detroit and are going to be talking about their ministry. That's the other thing. There's so much misinformation where we're often accused in the pro-life arena of only caring about the woman. And then you look at these pro-life ministries that are phenomenal and don't take a dime from the government and walk with moms and dads for up to 3 years in many cases, giving them parenting classes and assistance. Help with doctor's appointments, help with food, help with clothes, on and on and on. And of course, none of this information gets out to the public. So this is another opportunity to support those amazing people who work in the pregnancy resource centers. Oh my goodness, already 7 minutes past the hour. Lots of news to get through before we get to Father Stephen. So let's check out and see what's happening on this. Yay! First day of spring 2019. Pope Francis yesterday taking 14 men and women a step closer to sainthood, among them an Italian missionary martyred and 7 bishops killed for their faith in Romania. The Holy Father receiving the prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, authorizing the decree from 8 new dioceses recognizing the heroic virtues of 4 Italian nuns, an Italian priest, a miracle attributed to the intercession of a Spanish nun, and the martyrdom of 8 men. West Virginia's Attorney General is suing a retired Catholic priest in the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston for allegedly hiring priests known to be pedophiles. The suit filed yesterday comes after the diocese admitting last November it knew of 18 priests who were credibly accused of sexually abusing children from 1950 through last summer. The diocese also knew about 13 other priests who were accused in other states before coming to West Virginia. The lawsuit says the diocese and its bishops covered up and concealed, arguably, criminal behavior of admitted child sex abusers. Now, the diocese saying it rejects that lawsuit's claim, and it is committed to protecting children. The diocese adding now has a zero-tolerance policy against abuse by any priests, employees, or volunteers. A federal appeals court says the clergy housing allowance authorized by the IRS does not violate the Constitution. A 3-judge panel of the Chicago-based 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals overturning a lower court ruling in a lawsuit brought by the Freedom from Religion Foundation. The group arguing the tax code's long-standing exemption for religious housing gives ministers and churches financial benefits not available to secular nonprofits. The appeals court, though, held that the housing allowance is one of many rules that permit employees with work-related housing requirements to get a tax exemption. Mark Mayfield explains how President Trump is saying that people are really suffering to the point of starvation and death in the streets of Venezuela.
NBC's Kristen Welker says that's one area of agreement that the U.S. has with the president of Brazil.
One of those areas of agreement is on the issue of Venezuela, the fact that there's a crisis there in Venezuela.
At the White House yesterday, hosting Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, Trump called it very sad and said tougher sanctions could be imposed on the government of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. He called Maduro a puppet of Cuba. Trump said all options remain on the table. The U.S. and Brazil recognize opposition leader Juan Guaido as the legitimate leader of Venezuela.
Vice President Mike Pence visiting Nebraska yesterday to get an up-close look at flooding in the Midwest As he toured the flood area, he said he was heartened to see the community coming together.
I never failed to be inspired in moments like this, the way communities come together and people volunteer, put themselves in harm's way to help others. And
called such actions the best part of America, Pence also assuring folks in the area that help from the federal government is on the way. He said the president is going to make sure they get the resources they need to recover from the devastating flooding. Rick Hochschild says damage estimates are growing ever higher months after Hurricane Michael slammed the Florida panhandle.
The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation says insured losses from the storm now top $6 billion. As of last week, more than 144,000 claims have been filed, with about 80% of the cases closed. The majority of the claims come from Bay County, where the Category 4 hurricane made landfall last October.
With national security focus on the southern border with Mexico, U.S. Border Patrol up north in Detroit says they're making more arrests than before at the Canadian border. Christopher Perry is a director of field operations for U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and he says during the 2008 fiscal year in Detroit, arrests by Border Patrol shot up 80% to over 1,900.
This is the busiest commercial crossing on the northern border. Our primary responsibility is to keep, you know, dangerous things and dangerous people out of the country.
The arrests are for people living in the U.S. without proper documentation and for people trying to smuggle things into the country. The Detroit arrests account for nearly half of the arrests at the Canadian border, while there were nearly 400,000 arrested at the Mexican border. Prosecutors in Florida reportedly preparing to drop prostitution charges against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft under some unusual conditions. The Wall Street Journal says prosecutors in Jupiter will dismiss the solicitation charges against Kraft and the other men charged if they admit they would have been proven guilty at trial. Reporter Kerry Sanders says the admission could put Kraft in hot water with the NFL.
The NFL is not commenting, but according to the league's conduct policy, owners, like players, are held to a higher standard.
The men would also have to take a screening for sexually transmitted diseases, complete an educational course on prostitution, perform 100 hours of community service, and pay for some court costs as well. Kraft has an arraignment coming up next week. And finally, in our news segment, at about 12 minutes past the hour, an interesting story from the health perspective. Brian Shook reports the FDA is now approving the first drug developed specifically to treat postpartum depression.
The drug is sold under the brand Zulresso and is administered intravenously. Clinical trials showed it treats symptoms of postpartum depression in a matter of hours. Postpartum depression affects about 1 out of 9 new mothers and can be marked by bouts of sadness, loss of interest in activities, and suicidal thoughts.
And it is just about 13 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful first day of spring. We will now open up the phone lines. Let us know what's going on in your area and how you're working with the church or other pro-life groups to support Unplanned. The movie opens next week. It's important to share our stories, to share our testimony, and this film is based on the story of an amazing young woman, Abby Johnson, who walked away from a very high-paying job in Planned Parenthood and now has a ministry entitled And Then There Were None. And she also is a convert to the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Father Stephen Polis from the Archdiocese of Detroit, my hometown, the Department of Evangelization. He is a great witness, has been to the march many times. He was there with us last year. He was there this year too, but we missed him. He got stuck in the back. But hopefully we'll be able to interview him next year when we're back there, God willing, at the March for Life. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Good to be with you on a Wednesday and every day right here on EWTN. Father!
Hey, Teresa, how are you?
Health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare. Fully alive.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. In theaters March 29th, visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
And I think sometimes for a mistaken compassion, we might say, well, we don't want to preach about abortion because we know there are, as Vicki gave the statistics, there are a lot of people in our congregations that are hurting from this. And kind of my response to that is, well, so we only want to talk about sins that our people don't commit. That's not very helpful. You know, we need to talk about it in a sensitive way, in a way. And I think this film offers that opportunity to really do that and to have dialogues and conversations that, as I said, as the film is about redemption. It's about conversion. It's about finding the Lord and finding healing as well. And so, you know, I think we need to talk and not be afraid to talk about it, abortion, to talk about it in a loving way.
Beautifully said. That's Archbishop Naumann from the Archdiocese of Kansas City, also the head of the USCCB Pro-Life Activities Committee. And he's out there on the front lines encouraging so many of us to go out there, see this film, promote the film, and help people, you know, get there to the movie theaters across the country next week. So what are you doing in your area? 877-573-7825. Just a reminder, if you're in Michigan, especially in the Diocese of Lansing or in the western part of the Archdiocese of Detroit, you can go to our homepage at AveMariaRadio.net, and then you can see what we're doing. We have several screenings that we're sponsoring, and we still have some room, so check it out. It's in the slideshow at AveMariaRadio.net. And then, as I mentioned, Father Stephen Pullis is with us. He is Director of Department of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Schools in the Archdiocese. And, Father, the Archdiocese itself is sponsoring a number of screenings in our area, correct? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Teresa. Yeah, we're working with a number of parishes and Catholic schools who have brought screenings to the Metro Detroit area of this film next week, leading up to the, you know, kind of widespread premiere next Friday. And these parishes and schools are supporting a screening with donations going to local pregnancy centers that are really on the front line of helping these women who are considering abortion to choose the greatest gift they can give their child, the gift of life.
And thank you for your work in doing that. One of the things that I think is really important, I'm sure you heard the clip that we played from Archbishop Naumann, where he was talking about too many of us are afraid to talk about this, and especially if a deacon or a priest or a bishop is afraid to talk about it from the pulpit because they don't want to hurt someone or maybe offend someone. But as he said, it's just the opposite. People are there in pain, and if we're there to help them in healing, when you know the numbers, 1 in 4 women in the pews has had an abortion. So we are not really doing a service to them by being quiet about it. What's your reaction to what the Archbishop said?
Yeah, so I was at the Prayer Vigil for Life last in January, just a couple of months ago, and heard Archbishop Naumann speak powerfully about the pro-life issue in the Mass the evening before the March for Life, and spoke specifically about this movie. And I think he's right on. You know, what I hear from people time and again is they want to hear about how their faith touches their practical life, how it affects their day-to-day life, or how they can put their faith into practice in the circumstances they face. And knowing the numbers of people who have considered or who have had an abortion should make us all the more ready to proclaim the truth of the gospel of life, of course in love, of course in charity, but to proclaim the truth about what God calls us to be defenders of those who are most vulnerable, and to not shy away from sharing the truth of the gospel in that situation. So I think it should embolden us as preachers to find ways in prayer, prayerfully discern, like, you know, how best we can approach it. But if we're afraid to proclaim it because of it touching people's lives, then we're afraid of the gospel having a real effect in someone's life.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're talking with Father Stephen Pullis from the Archdiocese of Detroit, where he serves as a director of the Department of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Schools right here in southeastern Michigan. If you'd like to join in the conversation and what you're doing in your area to promote the film Unplanned and why you think it's important, phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. And Father, I can't say how important it is, and I feel this being married to a deacon, that our leaders in the church who have access to the pulpit are speaking out about this. Any comments on the importance of hearing our religious leaders discuss this, as you just mentioned, adding on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it is critically important because of what a timely issue it is. You know, we saw what happened in Virginia earlier this year.
Right.
We saw what happened in the Senate earlier this year. And so I think it is an issue people are hearing about in the news and hearing about as they scroll through Twitter or they talk about with their friends and family. And the church needs to speak into that issue and speak the power of how Christ calls us to live as witnesses to the world. You know, Teresa, here in Detroit, we have this movement, Unleash the Gospel, becoming a mission-focused church. And these are prime ways we can help people to see that their faith is not something just relegated to an hour on Sunday, but is meant to be lived out, as you would say, beyond Sunday, Teresa, lived out all throughout their week and in every part of their life.
And we have lots of phone calls coming in, including Cindy Dorsey, our good friend who is the president of Emmanuel Radio on the East Coast. And Cindy, what's going on in your neck of the woods with the film? Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, T. It's great to hear your voice as well. And we are knocking it out of the park outside Boston, Massachusetts.
Woo-hoo!
We have three Catholic radio stations, and we're doing the red carpet movie event, which is selling out so fast because we've got groups of people calling up, getting mass amounts of tickets, you know, prayer shawl groups to Knights of Columbus to faith formation groups, parishes. But what we're doing is we're hosting an Emmanuel Radio red carpet event exactly like you would see in Hollywood.
Oh.
We already have the red carpets. We'll have our own Ryan Seacrest. We already have these Oscar kind of awards we're giving out called the Emmanuels.
That is
and
great.
What we're trying to do is dressed up the whole bit. But what we're trying to do is, because there's just so much Hollywood left and all that problem, we're going to do the quote unquote right Hollywood. We're going to do it with faith and life. So what we encourage people to do is to call Emmanuel Radio if they want to get tickets, because we're almost sold out. But the great thing about this is we're also doing one of the Oscars. We'll be best dressed, and you can come in your best pro-life outfit, 40 Days for Life, your parish, anything like that. And we're going to have speakers, Rod Murphy, who is the director of Problem Pregnancy in Worcester, Massachusetts, right across the street from Planned Parenthood, is going to be giving a speech. We'll have priests there. And, T, you know, it's I had to fight for 3 weeks to get this into a movie theater. And now that we've gotten that, now they're starting all around this area to put it in the
theater. So there was a positive reaction when they saw how many people were interested, right?
Oh, absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So we encourage everybody, not just in the Worcester and Boston area, but everywhere around the country, get to this movie, represent your church group. And we even have people, you don't have to be Catholic. We've got Protestant groups. We've got Baptist groups that are calling and ordering tickets. People just, you know, are focused on life and what
right.
the truth is.
No, this is a great, this is a great unifying topic.
Thank you for all the promotion topic. You're doing, too.
Well, I'm proud to do it. I'm honored that I was able to endorse the book, and I just think this is so huge. Cindy is, of course, president of Emmanuel Radio. Cindy, I want to have you next week when we get closer, because your event is unique. I'd like to hear more about it. We have Irene, also from Massachusetts, calling in on line three. Hi, Irene. What's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning. We are also thrilled. We're in a little town called Clinton, and we have a pregnancy resource center there, and we just opened a satellite in Marlboro in the same building as Planned Parenthood. And we convinced a very small theater, very liberal theater actually, to play us, play our movie. And it's going to be on Sunday the 31st. It's a matinee, and we are sold out.
Awesome. Awesome, Irene. Thanks for sharing. And Irene is also from Massachusetts. We'll continue with the phone calls and more with Father Stephen Polos after the break. But, Father, when we come back, you're employed as the head of evangelization. So you get the whole idea of unleashing the gospel, the Archbishop's letter, taking your faith beyond Sunday. You know, I've talked about this. I want to get more when we come back into the reason how we can use this for evangelization. Because, as I said at the top of the hour in introducing our segments, I want pro-lifers to be there, obviously. My passion is that they come and that they're fulfilled and reaffirmed and realize how important their mission is. But how do we, and this is your expertise, reach out to those who are on the fence or maybe who are pro-choice or pro-abortion and bring them to the theaters as well? Why do we need to reach beyond our comfort zone, as I say in the first chapter of my book, and bring someone in who may not be thinking about going to this film? More with you and Father Stephen Polos up next. Stay tuned.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Well, we're having a beautiful first day of spring. So excited to have my dear friend, Father Stephen Polos, who also works as an amazing witness right here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, dynamic young priest, also a great retreat giver, led our retreat for the deacons and their wives last year. 877-573-7825. And Father, you are all about evangelization. I mean, not just as a priest, but also your title with the Archdiocese. Yeah. And one of the big points of, and if folks haven't read Archbishop Vigneron's Unleash the Gospel, I would highly recommend it. There's links all over the place. You can go to unleashthegospel.org. You can go to aodonline.org. There's links and really great little videos as well. But he talks about telling stories. And Archbishop Naumann said this last week in the phone call with Abby and others, a conference call they had nationwide. Really important to share a story. This is why this movie is key. How do we help others who might not normally see this particular story of the life of Abby Johnson? How can we reach out to those and bring them to see this film? Because I want the pro-lifers to be there, as I said, but I also would like to see people who wouldn't normally be there so we can change more hearts.
Yeah, Teresa, that's a great question. And that's really the challenge, where the rubber meets the road there, you know, where we talk about how do we not just make this our group going to another place and it's just all of us in the theater. How do we invite people who maybe normally wouldn't come to something like this? I think of a couple of ideas around that. The first, as you mentioned about stories, to be able to give witness or to tell a story of people we know who are involved in the pro-life movement, who are really committed to these women and their children. The pro-life movement sometimes gets this bad rap from people that it's just about condemning and judging people.
Right, not caring about anything but the baby. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of Abby's story is seeing the witness of those who were out there day in, day out, just showing love to the mothers who were going in, showing love to everyone in this abortion facility, but also speaking the truth into that situation. And so to break through some of the prejudices or the preconceived notions we have, to tell the story of people who are committed in all the nitty-gritty of life to helping these women when so many people want to tell them the easy solution is to just get rid of the child.
Mm.
I think telling that story about our commitment to the pro-life movement is so huge. And then, you know, because Unleash the Gospel, this movement, this pastoral letter is at the foundation of all we're doing, I think of one of the good habits the Archbishop calls out, and it's he names it apostolic boldness.
Mm.
So to think about, like, how I can be bold in proclaiming this to people in my life. Maybe there's someone with whom I think it might be an awkward conversation, but if I pray beforehand, if I approach them in love, and I speak the truth of the gospel with boldness and invite them to say, hey, this is a movie where you're going to hear a powerful story, and maybe even challenge someone, like, are you open to hearing that? And buying them a ticket, right? Breaking down one of those obstacles. But to do it with boldness, with love, and rooted in prayer, I think is the best way to approach our friends or family members who are not part of the pro-life movement, to invite them to be part of this movie.
Amen. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, if you'd like to share what you're doing in your area regarding the film Unplanned, which opens next week, 877-573-7825. Brian calling from North Dakota this morning. Hi, Brian.
How are you, Teresa?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Hey, I just wanted to let everybody know in the Wilson area, Watford City area, Tioga, that we have Unplanned. It is going to be played in Williston, and we are sponsoring it. If you have groups of 10 or more, we are giving you a 50% discount.
Wow. And so is there information? Where can they go for information on that, Brian?
They can call St. Joseph's Church. I apologize, I'm driving, so I can't give you that phone number.
That's okay. Keep your arms and hands inside the vehicle at all times. So where is St. Joseph's, just to give a general direction for people? What town?
St. Joseph's Catholic Church is in the downtown area.
Downtown what, again?
Directions I can give. Downtown Williston, North Dakota.
Okay. Downtown Williston, North Dakota, St. Joe's Catholic Church. Brian, thank you, and keep spreading the word. 877-573-7825. Father, I love hearing this. This is Unleash the Gospel, right?
Amen. Yeah, people just sharing where this is going to be played, inviting others to be part of seeing this movie, hearing about Abby's story, and then, as importantly, after the movie, to go and share that with others. You know, these are all the premiere events that we're talking about, but there'll be a lot more showings of the movie going forward. And so hopefully these will be the hot coals that stir up more people seeing this movie and telling the story and becoming part of the pro-life movement.
Are you hearing from other evangelization leaders in other dioceses around the country, Father, about what they're doing to reach out and to be there? Because there is going to be, I think, a very positive follow-up, but there's going to be a lot of pain as a result, because people are going to be seeing this who may have buried or suppressed their own abortion or their own involvement in helping to procure an abortion. Have you been talking to other dioceses, other priests, to see what they're doing? And what are you hearing out there in the Catholic Church?
Yeah, I think that's always such a key point in any part of the pro-life movement, is to speak the truth into these situations, but to know that when we grapple with the truth in our own hearts, whether it's a little brokenness or a great brokenness in my heart or in something in my past, that can stir up all sorts of problems. And so mm-hmm. we have to be ready to accompany people in dealing with that, so that they can become not just tethered to that, they can let go through the sacrament of confession, but then also, as that kind of self-condemnation can come up in people's lives, that they can give that over to the Lord. So it does require walking with people and being there for them. And that, again, that's where I see those frontline pro-life warriors being a great example to the rest of us on how to walk with people through these issues.
Yeah, Father, there's so many levels here of evangelization, because if you think about, just as you mentioned, that we're doing with our screenings at Ave Maria Radio and what you're doing in the Archdiocese, more specifically, having these folks who are very involved and who are witnessing to what they're doing. I know you're going to have someone who is bringing a mobile ultrasound unit and someone else from a crisis pregnancy resource center. And for a lot of folks, as I said at the top of the hour, this may be the first they're hearing about this type of activity. And not knowing all that the movement does, not just for the innocent child in the womb, but for the women and for the families. And to some extent, fathers, most of these places help through 3 years after the baby is born.
Yeah. I know there's a group I've been a part of here in Detroit called the Guadalupe Partners.
Oh, yeah.
Who do tremendous work in Southwest Detroit, which is a heavily Hispanic area, and helping, you know, families, mothers who have all sorts of barriers in their life to that make them think, I can't bring this child into the world. And they really kind of step by step walk with these families. Last Christmas, I was blessed to go out and bless their new facility where they meet with the families, and to see all the crying babies and the kids running around and the
what a great sound, right?
Facility.
All those crying babies, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so beautiful, and to see the joy in these mothers' faces, that not just that they made the decision to choose life, that's so critical and so huge, but they also encountered someone who truly loved them and who cared about them, not just as a problem in the world, but cared about them as another face that was reaching out to them, helping hands, loving eyes, someone who saw them not as a problem, but as a joy that this world needed.
Amen. Father, thanks so much for all the great work you do in general at the Archdiocese with your Department of Evangelization, but also for you and the Archbishop joining Archbishop Nauman and others in the church and getting behind on a plan which opens up next week. Again, Ave Maria Radio sponsoring a number of screenings. Go to AveMariaRadio.net. We'll also have links for the Archdiocese, and we'll get some other information in our archive link as well. We'll be right back.
Traveling for spring break? You don't have to miss your favorite Ave Maria program. Bookmark AveMariaRadio.net or download the Ave Maria Radio app on your smart device. You can listen to more than a dozen live or recorded Ave Maria Radio shows wherever and whenever you want. On the road, in the line at the amusement park, at the beach, or in the evening after a productive day. Stay connected. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
The radical hard left, which now controls the mainstream Democratic Party, has declared war against conservatives, and in particular, conservative Christians and Jews. The propaganda arm of this assault is the George Soros-funded Southern Poverty Law Center, or SPLC. For years, SPLC has engaged in a political propaganda campaign to malign its political adversaries by falsely labeling them as hate groups. SPLC operates much like Joseph Goebbels' notorious Ministry of Propaganda for the Nazi Party, functioning as purveyors of hate. For SPLC, it has become a very profitable business. It has over $500 million in assets, with over $120 million parked in offshore accounts. As you can see, this enemy of liberty is well-funded, and it seeks to weaponize financial agencies, left-wing government officials, and others against conservative Judeo-Christian values. Make no mistake, SPLC is an enemy of the state. Its business of identity politics and name-calling, the main tactic of the left, is harmful to our nation. It foments violence. It seeks to divide America. It wants nothing less than the institution of a hard-left regime in which conservative Christians and Jews and the values they hold dear are cast aside. Don't be fooled. With the assistance of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the policies of the hard left, which are now becoming mainstream for the Democratic Party, inevitably lead to totalitarianism. But I say, defend liberty. Resist the left, its propaganda, and its so-called progressive policies. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute.
Catholic Connection. First day of spring, March 20th. It's a Wednesday, which means we head over to the eternal city of Roma. My dear friend Joan Lewis is there and covering Rome for us, as she does every week and elsewhere on her many outlets, and we'll give you the details and where you can find her. Joan, first of all, I know you're heading back to the States soon. Tell us about that visit.
Yes, I am heading back on Saturday for, it looks now, because I'm working on the second part of my trip, that I'll be gone for about 10 days. I will be in Chicago. I have an interview scheduled with the Archbishop there because Cardinal Sukich, he was unable to speak to me for an interview when he was here for the meeting on the protection of minors. So that has been set up for Monday, the Feast of the Annunciation, and then I also will be talking to the women of the Illinois Club for Catholic Women. This was founded by a great aunt of mine in 1921, and meant to help the poor. They set up, there was the Lewis Hospital for Unwed Mothers. They had what they called the Lewis Milk Program. It was bringing milk and other things to poorer families, to mothers who did not have money for milk for their children, but a very big organization in philanthropy and so forth. They work also very closely with Catholic Charities of Chicago, so I'm looking forward to that. And then there's a big event in New York that I've been invited to on April 2nd. Bartolucci Foundation, Cardinal Bartolucci, who died just over 5 years ago, Domenico Bartolucci, is the only cardinal ever to have written an opera. He headed the Sistine Chapel Choir for something like close to 50 years. And the foundation is trying to put the opera on in Florence and want to create an awareness among people in the United States, which I've been trying to help them do, you know, either people associated with music, with other opera concerns in their own city. And so Cardinal Dolan is hosting a big event to attract sponsors, patrons, I mean, for this event. And that will be on the 2nd, and I've been invited to that. So probably will be extending my days in Chicago and go to New York and then come home straight from there.
So you're going to be back in Italy for Easter?
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. Okay. Easter's the 21st. I'll be back to see events on the 2nd. I would leave on the 3rd, you know, be back on the 4th, something
All
like
right.
that.
So. Yeah, I've always wanted to be in Rome for Easter. I've never been there for Easter. I've been there in December, and I've been there in the spring, but I've never been, like, for Christmas or Easter. Those are two times that I want to go to Rome and put it on my bucket list. All right, now, a story that's really intriguing, I guess that's the best way to describe it. We've been talking about it back and forth in our emails in prep for this morning. The cardinal from France, what is going on there?
I don't know. Who knows the whole story? So we have French Cardinal Philippe Barbarin, he's from Lyon, the Archbishop of Lyon. And he had been convicted earlier this month by a French tribunal on charges of failing to report allegations of sexual abuse committed by a priest in his diocese. And that same court gave him a 6-month suspended prison sentence. And, of course, he plans to appeal the verdict. Now, he did announce that he would be coming to Rome to offer his resignation to, I don't remember his age right now, but he would be coming to Rome to offer his resignation to the Holy Father. And he did that on Monday, March 18th. He and the Holy Father met for a half an hour, and only 28 hours later did the press office make a statement on that. They came out yesterday afternoon at 2:30, so literally minutes before the doors even closed at the press office at 3. And they said that the Pope had declined to accept his resignation. And the Pope is aware of the difficulties of the Archdiocese, but he wants Cardinal Barbarin free to make the best decision for the diocese. And then the diocese itself, in a statement, the Cardinal did say, when he got back to France, that he, and it was also in the Vatican announcement, that he has asked the current Vicar General to be in charge. He's going to take a little leave of absence. But what I found totally fascinating about this, other than the fact that we had to wait 28 hours for the Vatican to say something, the Lyon Archdiocesan website yesterday, on that, the cardinal said that the Pope did not want to accept his resignation, quote, invoking the presumption of innocence, end quote. Well, that's such a direct contrast to what has been happening in Australia, where the Vatican praised the Australian justice system in its, you know, sentencing of Cardinal Pell. So he's still, Barbarin is still the archbishop, will be the archbishop of the Archdiocese of Lyon, and he will, the archdiocese will be run by the Vicar General, but there's apparently no intent for him to step down if the Pope hasn't accepted his resignation. You can't just step down and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. You do have to have the Holy Father say it. But let me tell you something interesting, Teresa, that I've noticed, and I wrote, I'll have to find the blog on which I wrote about this a number of months ago. For all the years I worked at the Vatican, in the pontificates of John Paul, of Benedict, when a bishop submitted a resignation, it was put in the daily, you know, they have to do that when they're at the age of 75,
right,
canon law. They may also do it for other reasons, and it can be health, it can be a number of things. But canon law, I think it's canon 401, so you have paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. Of canon law, which we always posted when a bishop gave his nomination. It was public news. It was in the Vatican press release, the bulletin of that day. And we would always say, you know, Bishop John Smith, having just turned 75, submitted his resignation per canon law 401, paragraph 1. If a bishop submitted it for 401, paragraph 2, paragraph 2 left it open that it could be health reasons or some other urgent, important reason for that person to resign. Well, under Pope Francis, that the canon law part of a resignation is never included on the Vatican website. So it just says, you know, Bishop John Smith of this diocese tendered his resignation today, and the Pope accepted it. But they don't tell you. If you can get online and find out if he's 75, but none of us understand why the Vatican has eliminated the designation. Let's just be clear about it. Don't make Joan or Teresa look it up. John Smith resigned because he turned 75 on Monday, or John Smith resigned per canon law provision 401 paragraph 2. Now, that doesn't say that much, but at least you know it's something other than age.
Right.
So, you know, what's going to happen there, and other cases we believe are pending, we don't know. Nothing has happened to anybody else either being indicted or tendering their resignation since the February meeting, you know, which was supposed to look at any archbishops, not just priests accused of something, but an archbishop either accused of a, you know, bad act or accused of cover-up. So interesting times, because there doesn't seem to be the same weight on the scale of justice.
See, the thing that's frustrating to me, and I know this is frustrating to you as well as a communicator, is I don't know if they understand the kind of cloud that puts over the whole discussion. And at the one hand, they want to show that they are doing what they can to do to address these issues, continue to address them, although we know that the meeting in Rome in February left a lot to be desired. But then you do something like this, and there's news stories about this cardinal everywhere, about what he did or didn't do related to the crisis, and the Pope doesn't accept his resignation. Well, okay, what does that mean? And what does that say about the concerns raised or the allegations raised about this particular person? And then that leaves us with more doubt and confusion.
Are the accusations less weighty in France or Lyon? I mean, just so many questions. In fact, I mean, people, the media was sitting on pins and needles Monday. They knew the meeting was from 10 to 10:30 with Barbarin and the Pope. And, you know, people, okay, you don't expect anything from the Vatican at 10:35, but 11, 12, noon, the bulletin comes out. The afternoon goes by. The press office closes at 3, and nothing. Not a word from even insiders. So what do you do, Teresa, when you don't have any kind of news or statement? People just guess. And actually, the first guess was, uh-oh, the Holy Father has not accepted Barbarin's resignation, and they're looking for a way to phrase it. So you've just got to come out in front. Valentina, remember the journalist who spoke at the meeting?
Right.
She said, you know, in February, and she said, we're on your side, but you've got to help us. You have to be proactive. She said, when you come out with any kind of an announcement, it can't be reactive, which, of course, this was. It was 28 hours later that the Vatican, you know, came out with its statement that the Pope did not accept the resignation. So, but it's still, unfortunately, it's something that, like you just said so correctly, it raises more questions than the one it should have answered.
Right.
So,
right, and that's the last thing we need right now.
You and I are in a position we're supposed to be able to tell the news, explain it, you know, according to church tradition or canon law or whatever's behind the news story. We're supposed to be out there, but then sometimes you're left and you don't have any tools to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be difficult, but obviously we will be following it. But I mean, he's still, I should look up his age. He's still the Archbishop of Lyon, so, you know.
Any idea on how the media are covering it over in that area of the world, in France?
Oh, well, there's been a huge negative reaction and consternation, you know, that the, like, some of them making the parallel, obviously, with Cardinal George. Okay, he was also found guilty with proof that simply does not exist in his case. And so people are comparing the Vatican coming out and, okay, this is okay, just take some time off and I can't accept your resignation.
Well, then you have that other story that just broke at the UN with that man who was moved, the priest who was moved over to Central Asia after that position at the UN?
Chulikot. I actually met him in 2010 in Iraq when he was the nuncio there. But so, yeah, all kinds of stories coming out. The Vatican did say they've looked into this, and apparently the current nuncio, of course, had heard a lot of this when he came in, and apparently everything's up to norm. I mean, anything regarding salaries,
Well, that's all well and good, but at the same time, if this person was left alone and then just moved without it being investigating or no repercussions,
exactly.
And then when you read the story, and I thought Catholic News Agency did an excellent job in terms of their documentation and all the different quotes they have from people, all those text messages that this man was sending, and he meant it apparently for this one person with whom he was allegedly involved, and it ended up going on the phones of so many other workers who were horrified. I mean, this again, just you see this, and you just have to say, okay, Lord, this is your church. We're going to keep our eyes on you, and we know you got this,
right.
But, you know, you can't put your trust in princes. But at the same time, there could be a lot they could do with this story, because now the Vatican is saying, oh, we don't have any problems at the UN. Everything's fine. Well, okay, then why did this happen?
Yeah, why would it come out? I mean, you could discount it if it was only one disgruntled employee who wanted a pay raise or something. But when it turns out to be a number of current and or previous, you know, employees, then you kind of have to sit there and wonder what's happening.
Right. This is abuse in another way. This is abuse of power and victimizing other people for your own gratification, at least allegedly. Joan, we're out of time already. So many other questions I had. All right. So can you join us next week? I know you have a whirlwind week next week, but can you join us?
Time-wise, I'll be able to join you, sure.
Okay,
great. By the way, Cardinal Barbarin is 68.
So. Okay. So he's not really yet. He's got 7 years yet before the actual retirement age.
Born October 1950. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay, my dear, have a great week, and we look forward to chatting with you from Chi-Town, from the Windy City next week. Joan Lewis from EWTN, and she will be traveling to the States, and pray for her for safe travel, and we look forward to chatting with her next week. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up tomorrow on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to the one, the only EWTN. Stay tuned.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. you may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
I remember when we found out we were expecting you and we were so surprised.
You were?
Yep, but then we heard your heartbeat and knew you were going to change our lives.
What happened after that?
Well, you grew and grew in my tummy. You started kicking, sucking your thumb, and even making a fist.
No wonder I was a surprise.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-777. Or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard
And Vanessa Denha-Garmo will be filling in for me tomorrow as I travel to Florida to speak at a big event at St. John the 23rd in Fort Myers. Be back with you on a Friday. Have a great Thursday. Ciao, ciao. Happy spring.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.